You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You cannot defend the execution here. This has been a disaster.
It's just unconscionable for them to get it that wrong.
And this is about leaving hastily and ineptly. Secretary Blinken, how did President Biden get this so wrong?
This president and his indifference to things he was warned about put us where we are, and that's a fact.
He's lost the competency high marks that he was getting at one time.
Does President Biden not bear the blame for this disastrous exit?
It's a failure, and he needs to own that failure.
I supported President Biden. I did campaign, and this is the first time in my life that I regret my decision.
Huh, first time. September the 8th, 2021. That is a collection of state-controlled media turning around those hound dogs and biting the hand that's been feeding them, Biden, and all the other Democrats, admitting this is a total screw-up in Afghanistan. Oh, they would love it if Trump had been in office and it went down like this, but if Trump had been in office, it would not have gone down this way. He made it very clear to the Taliban and an agreement he signed while he was still president, obviously. We will pull our troops out. Our plan is to be out by May 1, but you have to meet certain conditions. He even gave them that specific date of May 1, but you've got to adhere to certain conditions. You violate them. You do anything to harm any of our troops, and you will pay. And we know where you live, so we'll go after your villages as well. And the Taliban took the man seriously. But then when bumbling, stumbling Joe Biden comes out of his basement, they realize, brand new day for us, and we're in control again. And Biden said, I can't do it May 1, so we're going to do it by September 11. September 11, of course, coming up this Saturday, 20-year mark from the anniversary of the Pentagon World Trade Center in Pennsylvania attacks on this nation. Taliban said, no, we're not going to wait till then. Come August 31, you got to be up. And Biden said, okay. And what did they do first? They closed Bagram Airfield. They closed that down, so we no longer have that as a possible way to get Americans out. And we decide we'll go through the international airport inside Kabul. What a stupid plan. It is not just stupid, it's a costly plan. As many have said, Biden has blood on his hands now, and he's going to have more on his hands because we still are not getting any accurate numbers from the State Department of how many are there. Still behind. We're going to get into that in more detail as we move forward. Also, the abortion battle is heating up again, certainly in Texas with the heartbeat bill. And we have Christopher Bedford of the Federalist scheduled to discuss, as he says, the fight is on. There are no more civilians when it comes to the abortion battle. You cannot stand in the center. You're either going to go with abortion or against it. Because if you believe life begins with a heartbeat, then you've got to say the Texas law is right. It's going to be facing additional challenges, and other states have had theirs thrown out. And we're going to be reminded, of course, as we said the other day, that the Supreme Court ruling upholding the Texas law as it stands now is not overturning Roe v. Wade. It's just saying that that particular case, the way it is set and established, it can't continue. There have been efforts underway to try to put an injunction against it. We'll bring you up to speed on that. And also how colleges and universities are indoctrinating students. You don't want to miss this. You got a student going to college, You're paying for it. And I want you to know what they're supposedly getting. That they're not telling you. Well, the parents might be told by their kids, but the school damn sure isn't telling you generally. And then, of course, we have Dr. Fake. Senator Tom Cotton says that it is time for him to pay the price. He lied to us while he shut down our nation and told us we're in deep, deep trouble. And a funeral procession from Lambert Airport to a funeral home in St. Charles escorting Marine Lance Corporal Jared Spitz is underway. There'll be delays as portions of Interstate 70 westbound will be closed for that convoy. Respect it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
So there you have it again. It's worth playing because Dr. Fake is in the hot seat again. He can chastise Senator Rand Paul all he wants, say, you don't know what you're talking about. But the evidence has been coming out now over the last few days is, and Rand reminded him of that during the last time he had him in front of the Congress back in July. He said, you do know the penalty for perjury of lying to Congress during an inquiry? And immediately Fauci took offense. How dare you say I was lying? I would never lie. I am a scientist. I follow the science. But I'm not sure he's following medical science or political science. But what we have going on now is that these papers that got released yesterday during the Freedom of Information Act that came out and clearly made it possible or made it clear that a lot of the information had been held back. These are newly released documents, as we discussed yesterday, that are proving that Fauci did lie. Oh, I'm sure he'll try to get around it and say, well, I didn't. They still don't understand, and they don't know what they're talking about. Oh, he's going to have all of those excuses. He is the kid in the room, the only one in the room, and cookies are missing out of the cookie jar, and he's got chocolate chip crumbs all over his face and said, I didn't do it. My sister did it. You don't have a sister. Oh, my brother. The dog. Any excuse you can come up with. These stories that are breaking now, they're not just going to be proving that the man was giving false information. They are going to raise serious questions of perjury. And in fact, based on what we've seen so far, and Senator Cotton says there will be more inquiries coming forward, what we have seen so far is that Dr. Fake is going to have to be going back before congressional committees. And as Senator Cotton said, after that, he needs to be going down the street to a federal court. Senator Cotton.
Well, Laura, I've said for months that Tony Fauci should be fired. Now it's clear that he lied to Congress. So he should be investigated and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. You know, for 18 months, he's been saddling up his moral high horse and clucking his tongue at college kids who want to go celebrate a football game in an outdoor stadium on a nice fall day, or parents who don't want their kindergartners to have to wear masks their entire lives, telling you have to wear 3 masks, when all along he's been lying, not just to Congress, but to the American people, about his role in funding the very reckless, dangerous research at a Chinese communist lab that unleashed this pandemic on the world. It is a disgrace, and it's time for Tony Fauci to be held accountable.
So the documents state this, and again, these are documents that detail U.S.-funded research on various types of coronavirus at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, where the first outbreak of the Chinese Communist Party virus occurred. And I remind you again that every time Donald Trump said it's the China flu, it's the Wuhan flu, he got mocked, he got chastised, he got slandered, damn near crucified by the media, saying, oh, he's xenophobic, he doesn't like yellow people, he's making up lies. And you've got all these Democrats running around repeating that same story. And there was Nancy Pelosi going to California and saying, come to Chinatown, have lunch with me. The Chinese are good people. He never said the Chinese people are responsible for the virus. He said the Chinese Communist Party in that Wuhan lab, that maybe they got it, they either lost control of it or they intentionally released it to see what kind of effects it might have. And, of course, everyone at that time that was certainly not a Trumper was saying, Trump's off his rocker, it's total conspiracy theory. And where are we now? Where are we now? And it's happened over the last 3-plus months. Everybody's saying, and even Dr. Fake is saying, it is possible we got out. And, yeah, we do need more information. But we didn't have anything to do with it. See, that's his fallback. Well, the documents detail the work of the EcoHealth Alliance, that's a U.S.-based health organization that used federal money funding research into bat coronavirus at the Chinese lab. And it shows inside these 900 pages obtained by The Intercept in connection with a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, that there was money from the U.S. going into that, money going direct from the National Institutes of Health, headed up by none other than Dr. Fake. And it even had one of the grants awarding to the EcoHealth Alliance from the NIH, a grant titled Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence. And it goes on to say, this is to investigate the ecology, evolutionary biology, transmission dynamics of bat coronaviruses at the human-wildlife interface. That means gain of function. The very thing Senator Rand Paul was saying, this is what you were doing. Do you want to change your testimony? Because the last time you were here, You said it wasn't. Do you want to change it? No, I don't want to change it. I've never lied. Senator Tom Cotton was with Laura Ingraham last night on her program. And what it came down to, is that he was asked, how would you classify this kind of scandal to any other scandal we have seen in this nation? Some of you might remember, of course, Watergate. That's a big one. Nobody died, supposedly. The Teapot Dome scandal, maybe that's a little far back for many. It is for me as well. Oh, we've had plenty of scandals in the nation involving presidents, including VP Agnew, with bribery charges and things of that nature. But what makes this scandal, this lie, and the way it was perpetuated upon you and the rest of the American public and your family, turned out to be a costly and deadly scandal.
One of the biggest scandals in Washington in modern times. I mean, it funded a laboratory that in all likelihood is the source of this once-in-a-century pandemic that has upended so many of our lives. Hundreds of thousands of people are dead. Many more have been seriously ill. Kids have lost a year, now going on a second year of their education. Weddings have been postponed. Jobs have been lost, businesses have been closed, and Tony Fauci all along has been lecturing you while hiding the fact that without proper notification to his political superiors in the executive branch funded this reckless, dangerous research in a Chinese communist lab, and then went to great lengths to try to excuse them.
What he just listed, I'm sure many of you have seen firsthand in one way or the other. You have had relatives, possibly spouses, grandparents die, and the list of cause of death was COVID. Now, it may or not have been COVID because we have some real question about the numbers as to how they begin to label everything with COVID. But the other things that many left seriously ill, that's true, and we don't know how it may reoccur in the future for them. Kids losing a full year in school, that is going to be a major impact upon this nation and the world with children going forward. Although in China, I'm sure they're going to use it to their advantage with their kids because we're pretty lax with our kids in this country, and we know some of the teachers and the teachers' unions, of course, were fighting to restart schools. Many of the teachers wanted to go back in. They knew how important it was for in-class learning. And, of course, now we have a lot of them doing so, but they're also coming up with mandates on masks. You have to wear a mask. And parents said, I don't want my 2- and 4-year-old in kindergarten wear a mask all day. Or even the other kids. And he also mentioned weddings postponed. Yes, a lot of those have been done. Family trips, vacations planned. Jobs lost, maybe one of yours. Businesses closed that may never reopen. It has been, as Senator Cotton said, one of the biggest scandals in Washington in modern times. In the cost of lives and economic, and not just for our nation, for the world. And Senator Cotton admitted in this interview last night, he said, you know, I've always kind of had a question about Fauci and his defiant attitude.
I always wondered why early on in the pandemic, Tony Fauci insisted that there's no way this virus could have come from that lab. It's all just obvious common sense. It broke out just blocks away from the lab where they're studying the coronavirus, where the lady in charge is nicknamed the Bat Lady. Yet he always insisted it couldn't be possible. Well, now we know it was to cover his own tracks. It was to conceal what he had done with your tax dollars in incredibly reckless research in a Chinese communist lab.
Incredibly reckless. But in addition to Fauci, there's a lot of blame to go around. The World Health Organization just buying the word from China from the beginning and helping lie for them that this is no big deal, don't worry about it, it's not going to harm anyone, not going to go anywhere. And then you had the mainstream media at that time, which was against Trump, and they were fighting and saying, you know, Trump is out of control again. So they are all complicit. My Boots on the Ground correspondent in Chicago sent me an interesting article about some facts out as to regarding Africa. And it's emerged as a global coronavirus cold spot. And we're not talking about it, according to this piece written by Genetic Publication, because it would appear to be racist if we're trying to say that. But it may actually have a hereditary thing that's in Africa. They have less vaccinations, less COVID. We're going to have to spend more time on that. But I need to change gears here because the battle is on regarding abortion and the Texas heartbeat fetal law. You want to hear an opinion from an expert on that when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Speaker Pelosi has said that they want to pass essentially a federalization of abortion laws. That could very well create a new challenge to abortion rights. They may actually make the situation worse by creating a federalism issue. The Supreme Court has always said that states have a right to legislate in this area. The question is how. But these statements that this order overturned Roe or that it upheld the state, the Texas law, are absolutely loony.
Loony tunes. Those are the words in the opinion of constitutional lawyer, George Washington professor, Jonathan Turley, also a Fox analyst. He's talking about the heartbeat law in Texas, which basically said if a heartbeat can be detected, that would be as early as 6 weeks, you cannot have an abortion. And if anyone participates in facilitating an abortion, then anyone from anywhere in the world can file a lawsuit against the providers and the facility where it took place and things of that nature. This does not overturn Roe v. Wade. That's the point he's making. That's the point we had the other day when we're talking to another constitutional expert from the Heritage Foundation. This does not overturn it. It opens a door and it says, you know, we are on the track to get some things in place that we're not going to have just open, free abortions again to the extent that we have been having. And when I say free, by they have to be paid for, but you can't use federal dollars for that because of the Hyde Amendment. But I remind you, now President Biden, as a U.S. senator, stood by his Catholic faith and voted for the Hyde Amendment, saying we should not use federal dollars to snuff out the life of a future child. But then when it came to the campaign trail to become president, he switched. I'll leave it to him and his bishops and others to make a decision on where that stands with their religion right now. But the bottom line is he switched. And we now, of course, have efforts all across the nation. And this is a 5-4 decision on the Supreme Court the other day that the Texas law can stand at that point. But John Turley wants to make it very clear to you that if you think this is destroying and killing Roe v. Wade, well, you're absolutely loony. Here's additional explanation.
The Supreme Court made its decision and said there are serious questions of constitutionality. But they said you basically picked a judge and a clerk at random. But these people have no enforcement duties. And what the court said is that we can't enjoin laws. We enjoin people. And these people don't have a role in the enforcement of this law.
And that is where it's hanging right now. But we are going to see more challenges. We know that, and we can count on it. I was watching reaction from some of the Hollywood elites, including Cher. And she said, this kind of ruling in Texas is going to kill women. And she's, I guess, referring back to the days that because you could not go to a clinic and have an abortion, there were back alley type abortions, coat hangers. It was a horrific thing. And yes, many women died because their vital organs were being pierced and they ended up dying along with trying to not have a baby. That was a pretty high price to pay. We're not going back to that. And part of the thing, too, that you have to look at some of these folks who constantly are pushing for abortion, they don't even want the facility to have to measure up to normal, acceptable health standards. If you go in for a surgery of any type, you want your hospital facility to meet certain health standards, do you not? So I'm not sure how many women might have been dying or suffering long-term problems because of abortions given at facilities that did not meet those standards. Planned Parenthood, of course, is going to fight it, and they've got a lot on the left to stand there with them. So we're a long ways from seeing the end of this. And Cher is right. Yeah, the abortions, you know, this could kill women, especially if the six-week-old heartbeat was going to become a woman. That part they don't want to discuss. Coming up, want to be joined by senior editor of The Federalist on this issue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, as you heard in the last segment, you've got professor, law professor, constitutional law professor, Jonathan Turley, also Fox analyst, saying anyone who thinks that the ruling by the Supreme Court regarding the Texas heartbeat law is overturning Roe v. Wade, well, that's just Looney Tunes. But, as I said then, a line is being drawn, and you're going to decide which side you're going to be on. My guest wrote a great article for The Federalist, Christopher Bedford, and it reads, the title, "The Left Has Made It Perfectly Clear, There Are No Civilians in the Fight for Life, and We Must All Speak Up Now." Chris, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm looking at this piece. This was, this was excellent, perfect pieces. You began with, "The fight is real, and it's here, and it's coming for every Christian and pro-lifer who opens their mouth." Let's stop right there. When you say coming after those who speak out, give me some examples of where you're going to see them trying to cancel or destroy or even physically attack.
The latest example was that kind of caught my mind was the firing of John Gibson. And he's the president of a video game development company called Tripwire. He's a co-founder of the company Tripwire. He's just an artist and a programmer. He likes to make games. He's not a particularly angry person in any way. He came out on September 4th, and he said in a very easygoing, not mean message or tweet, he said that he's proud of the U.S. Supreme Court affirming the Texas law banning abortion for babies with a heartbeat. As an entertainer, I don't get political often, yet with so many vocal peers on the other side of the issue, I felt it was important to go on the record as a pro-life game developer. That's not vitriolic. That's not raging. That's not angry. It's just saying I want to be one of the very few voices that disagree with a lot of my peers in this community out there in California. Clients started to cancel contracts. They said that their values of his company were no longer in line with theirs, and it was threatening to their employees. And before you knew it, he was forced out of the company that he had co-founded and led, and his own company issued an apology to its employees that they'd been exposed to such awfulness. Now,
oh my God,
that awfulness is just a basic Christian
I'm sorry.
View.
I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here thinking, this woke attitude wants to wipe everything out in the front of it just because they're going to decide you're on the wrong side and they're going to get enough power and muscle, and you don't dare stand up to them, or do you?
People don't, and they don't want to, and they think that they can get away with it. And they can just stay quiet. But it's coming out more and more and more that we can't simply stay quiet. People are being targeted all over the country. People who are just priests, people who are just Christians, the little sisters of the poor, the nuns in the Obamacare. If you don't want to actually participate in what Christians and a lot of other people call a grave evil, then you are banned from public life. And they don't want to. You see this even in the U.S. Senate, and now in our vice presidency, when there are people saying the dogma lives loudly in you to judges, as if being a Christian is something that means right. You can't even hold public office in this country.
I think that was a reference to whether it was Kavanaugh or Amy Coney Barrett that statement was made like that, that because of that. You can be satanic, which, by the way, there is a satanic group that jumped on to help fight and help make sure the Texas fetal heartbeat law got wiped out. We know the fight's been on for some way, but you write something else. And, folks, again, we're listening to Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist. You write in here, nothing is more sacred to the left than abortion. Go ahead.
That is absolutely their cause celebre. You can choose any fight you want with the left, but nothing will drive them more insane than the fight over saying you are not allowed to kill a distinct human being with a different DNA structure, with a separate heartbeat. It is not to say that child, that unborn baby, is not a parasite, is something that challenges every single aspect of them. And it's been wild to see people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez trying now to explain what the problem is with abortion without even being able to use the word women, because they're far from the truth.
Right. They can't, because men can get pregnant too, you know.
Of course, yeah. men with wombs, I guess, which mm-hmm. is the new insanity. And honestly, it's so incredibly offensive to have come this far in what they call feminism, where right. a woman, an absolutely beautiful woman, half of this civilization, is relegated simply to a biological cycle as opposed to a distinct human. But we see this in what also sparked my attention on this was Portland saying that they were no longer going to allow any government business with Texas. So I was wondering, I asked some friends, is that even legal? And a friend of mine responded, I think very intelligently. He said, we're beyond legal or illegal. All that matters is what the regime desires. We're at a point where right. if you want to boycott this, you want to deny Christian service to this, you want to deny someone's freedom of speech on that, all that matters to justify you is whether they are on the wrong side of the abortion debate, according to the left, or whether they are conservatives. You can hold people just a few blocks from my house indefinitely in solitary confinement if they're in the wrong political riot, even when there's been dozens in D.C. over the last couple of years. You can generally do what you want as long as you're justified by this left-wing ideology, and that's a frightening place to be for our country.
Yeah, and I think your friend's right. Perfect point. And of course, when you're talking about, as you said, they want to ban travel or any business with Texas. So if there's a national gathering of –
city council and city managers across the nation, and we're holding it in Austin, which is a blue city in the midst of that red state. They cannot use Portland tax dollars to travel down there and be there because it is that state, you know.
Yeah, and it reminds me, it fits in very well with what Portland's been doing for the last couple of years. And Portland's really a symbol of how far the left is going. Where some parts of California are just in stagnation and collapse, Portland is actively sprinting toward this left-wing utopia, and you can see it all over the place. But there's when we saw in 2020 the weeks-long siege of a federal courthouse, which is a symbol of law, order, justice, and the union. Attacked by masked mobs while officers were attacked and blinded and hit with bricks. And meanwhile, you had presidential candidates as well as the mayor of Portland referring to federal officers as occupiers, and this is justified. I couldn't help but make comparisons between their logic and the logic of those who attacked Fort Sumter. It seemed like secessionist logic to call the federal courthouse an occupation, to lay siege to it, and their officers occupiers. And it's that same sort of thinking that allows them to justify now banning commerce on the state level with an entire state of Texas over these ideologies. It's anti-United activity. It's anti-union activity. And while they can print out as many T-shirts and signs that say we need to stand together, everyone knows that if you don't stand with them, you're going to stand against the wall as far as they're concerned.
Yeah, and they may or may not give you a blindfold as you're standing against that wall, because we know they're going to execute you one way or the other, as you were detailing with the Tripwire founder. To that extent, you know, I was quoting Cher earlier before you joined us. She said, this Texas abortion law is going to kill women. And I said, well, you know, actually, if that six-week-old heartbeat is going to develop into a woman, you're absolutely right. If you go forward with an abortion, you're going to kill a woman. And that's always been my retort to any. And there are a lot of things I will accept and say, you know, you have a right to do this. But when it comes to preying on children in particular or killing, that there is no, unless it's a justified. And, of course, those of us on the right who will support capital punishment say, I can support capital punishment, but you're against abortion. Well, because that baby is an innocent child, has not committed a crime.
I laugh out loud. It fits very well into the amount of people who are not Christian, will say I'm not a Christian, and then explain to me what my religion and my Savior dictate to me I ought to be doing.
Right.
And it's always something that fits with them, and it's always a very elementary school understanding of what this is. And when someone says the same thing, how could you be pro-life but willing to support the capital punishment in certain circumstances? Well, that's the difference between guilt and innocence. Don't you understand that?
And the other point being is that many of the abortions and abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood in particular, are set up in minority communities. You're talking about a genocide of black population. I mean, you talk about how many black children never had a chance to have a life and become someone.
You're absolutely right. The statistics are back over and over again on exactly who is most victimized by abortion, and it's always in minority communities. And another thing that's very often disregarded is that people, you can rationalize it in any way you want. You can come up with a million different words to call, instead of calling it a heartbeat, call it an electrical signal. Instead of calling it a baby, call it a clump of cells. You could try to mask it. But talking to those women who have survived abortions, which are dangerous, very dangerous, over and over again, speaking to those poor women, the scars that they bear, the emotional trauma they bear, the regret that they feel, even when they thought that they were certain when they walked in there on that day, something's gone from them, and it will haunt them for the rest of their life. I know a lot of women who aren't necessarily on my side of this debate who have been through this tragedy themselves, and they'll tell you that it stays with you. And we don't like to talk about that because it doesn't fit in with our political lexicon, but that's the truth. There are victims all over.
I've heard that same thing. Christopher Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
We'll do it again. Take a break. I want to bring you up to speed on Lance Corporal Schwartz and his Schmitz and his funeral. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect.
plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I told you yesterday this was coming, and several miles of westbound traffic on Interstate 70 in suburban St. Louis closing down briefly as the remains of Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz is taken from Lambert International to a funeral home in St. Charles for his family tomorrow morning to have their final goodbyes. I've been watching what was reported to be live footage. I don't know how much of it is still going on. Patriot Guard riders, they often come together and escort soldiers who have been killed in action, escort them to their home from the airport. And, of course, he is one of those who were killed the other day at Kabul in that suicide bombing, because we decided to give up Bagram Air Force Base and try to protect the civilian airport where people could, right in the middle of the city, where people could just come over the top of the wire, get on the tarmac and everything else, and it wouldn't take long before a suicide bomber decided I could take advantage of that as well. But you got others. I mean, Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Espinoza, 20 years of age, Rio Bravo, Texas. His mother said she's just trying to make sense of the death. You got Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole G., 23 years of age, Sacramento, California. She, just days before death, had a photo of herself on Instagram in uniform holding a baby in Afghanistan with this caption, "I love my job." You got Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, 31, of Salt Lake City. His father had wrote, you know, that "I'm so glad I got to see you before he left. I love you, son." You got Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Canossa, 23, of Tennessee. His wife said, "We're blissfully happy. For him, it was his ultimate honor he could give back to his country." You got Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez, 22, of California. His parents are members of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. And all of them are saying, "Hunter, we thank you for your service to our country." You got Marine Lance Corporal Riley J. McCollum, 20, of Jackson, Wyoming. And the governor had tweeted out, "I'm saddened to learn that one of our own was killed in that." And McCollum's father said he was helping with evacuations. His son's helping evacuations and guarding a checkpoint when it went down. Marine Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, 20, of California. One student Friday wore red, white, and blue to honor the Marine at the school's first football game of the season. Marine Lance Corporal Corrine Nicoy, 20 years of age, of California. Those who knew him, his father and others, said we knew he loved what he was doing. He always wanted to be a Marine. You got Marine Corps Sergeant Johanny Rosera Pichardo, 25 years of age, in Massachusetts. She was assigned to the 5th Marine Expeditionary Brigade. And the mayor of that city calls her a daughter of our city. Marine Corporal Humberto Sanchez, 23, of Indiana. One point, it was stated in a Facebook for him. He said any plans he might have had for his post-military life were given in sacrifice
due to the heart exhibited, putting himself in harm's way for others. U.S. Navy Hospital Corpsman Maxton Silviak, 22, of Ohio. His family released a statement and said, "We're struggling to try to come to grips with this." Marine Corporal Dagan Page, 23, Omaha, Nebraska. Boy Scout, played hockey in his youth. His father said he had a tough arrow shell, but a giant heart. And, of course, we have Lance Corporal Schmitz. It was his first deployment. He was sent there from Jordan to help with evacuation efforts. His father said, from a young age, Jared was constantly happy. When he got caught on a camera, he was always smiling, nonstop, and he wanted to be a Marine from his sophomore year of high school. He focused everything in his life about becoming a Marine. He signed up at 17, which meant he had to have his parents' permission. Dead at age 20. Remember these names. Remember their stories. Coming up in the next hour, we still are not getting Americans out of Afghanistan, and we're not being told how many are still there.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.